Carlos Leeds, and welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to be discussing property issues that you need to spot that could cost you up to £50,000 when you're renovating a house. I'm here with James this week. How are you doing, James?
Thank you for having me, Russell, again.
Amazing. Well, it's great to have you on the show. Now, the reason I've got you on the show for this week is because you are a tradesman by trade.
You were a tradesman.
So you know all the tricks of the trade. You know how to spot problems. Now, this is particularly relevant if you're looking for a BRR type deal. You're looking for a property that's run down. You want to be able to fix it up. You want to be able to add value to that house. Mm-hmm. However, when someone's looking that doesn't really know, well, if you're looking for a property, you don't really know what you're looking for. I thought we'd share some of the key things that you want there to be. You want them to be these problems because then you can solve them. But you need to be aware of them, and you need to be aware of how much they would cost. So when you're looking at a house, which you imagine now you're viewing a property, it looks horrible, looks disgusting.
Like it.
Can you visualise it?
Like it already.
He's from Barnsley. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. What would be, say, the first thing that you'd be looking for or potentially looking for when you're looking at the house?
The first thing is just very visual. If it's already carpeted and finished, and I think to myself, yeah, I could live here. A bouncing man can live most places, but, you know, if...
It could be anywhere.
Anywhere.
Pigsty.
But if it looks reasonable, then I'm probably going to come away from it. I want it to look, on face value, I want it to look terrible.
Okay.
Then I'm going to start.
So first thing you're thinking is, I want a property that looks terrible.
Yeah. I mean, obviously,
that's good advice.
Yeah. In a nutshell,
It's kind of contrary to what most people think. But if you're looking to add value, you can't add value to something that's freshly painted, freshly carpeted, looks great.
I like the properties that when I go in to see them, the estate agency lady or man is saying to me, "Are you sure you want to buy this?" And I'm like, "I definitely want to buy this." Because then I know I'm on the right track.
Because they'll be saying that to everyone. I'm probably putting off most investors.
Yeah.
All right, so you're going, it looks terrible.
Yeah.
So what might be a problem with it that people watching this would need to know about?
So for me, a biggie is damp.
Damp.
Yes, that can be a game changer. Now, all problems can be fixed, including damp. But personally, if there's a lot of damp, that's when I'm questioning it. Rising damp especially. Damp from above, fine, not worried. Roofs, chimneys, leaks, things like that, it can be fixed easily. Rising damp is an issue that technically can never be fixed. You just manage it. And depending on how far we go, whether we're going to tank it, or you know whether we're going to start reporting floors and membranes down and things like that, depends on how long we're going to get out of that property.
So let's say I'm an absolute... it's going to be hard for you to imagine this, but imagine that I'm a complete moron.
Mm-hmm.
You got there a bit too quick. Imagine I was a complete moron and I was going to view a property.
Yeah. Right,
and I'm that, and you're trusting me. I'm viewing it on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trusting me to go and check if this property has got rising damp.
Yes.
What advice would you give me? How can I spot this?
The most obvious is darker spots on the bottom part, on the bottom half of the wall.
So dark spots.
Yeah, so say the wall's white. You might notice it's gone a light grey at the bottom and you can physically see the mark where the water's coming up. Swollen skirting boards, door frames, floor, especially if there's a laminate floor. Lifting tiles, things like that.
Lifting tiles, especially laminate floors, that could be from people spilling liquid on it, could it not?
To a point. But if it's the whole floor and we've got dark spots around and we've got skirting boards that are swollen and doors that aren't shut in and, you know, paint's peeling away from the corners, it's a good indication. And you can buy a little tester. I'd give you a tester if you were going for me.
So where can you buy these testers from?
Screwfix, tool station, £20. Just stick it in the wall, it'll tell you the percentage of how damp it is. I've seen it up to, I think, 89% before, which is pretty wet.
It's basically 89%.
Nearly water.
Water's going to be 100%.
Yeah, it's not far off, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What percentage would you be... what's your cut-off where you go, all right, that's... it's a bit too damp for my liking.
I would say probably round about the 60% plus. Anything under, I mean, but again, it's rising. If it's everywhere, if there's just like an outside wall that's got it, fine. If it's like internal walls and it's everywhere downstairs, that's when we need to start questioning, actually, how much is the refurb going to be on this place?
And let's say it was riddled with it. How much are we looking at to fix this problem?
Depend on the size of the house. But, I mean, a standard three-bed semi-sized, if it were the whole downstairs that we need to tank, you could be looking 20, 30k plus.
So if you've not factored that in, if you're just thinking, oh, I could just carpet it and I could just paint it.
Or buy some Ron Seal, damp seal, £5 a tin, it's not going to sort it. Like I say, you're just managing it. Even when you tank the wall, you're only tanking it to keep the water from coming through the plaster. It's still there, still running under the floor. There's certain things you can do to as good as guarantee that it's never going to come back, but a lot of the times you are just managing it, because when that membrane fails over years, it's going to come back again.
Okay, so damp, that's a big one.
Damp's a biggie.
All right, so damp, check it out. Make sure you get yourself a damp meter.
Yep.
Put it in the wall.
Yep.
And you ideally want less than...
Less than 20 is reasonable, I think, yeah. I think they say anything above 5 flags up with valuers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but anything under 20 is not horrendous, I don't think, and can be managed.
Okay, cool. So damp, big one. What else?
A big one, which is not always very visible, is subsidence.
Okay.
And that can catch people out. I nearly got caught out with that recently. We nearly got to solicitor stage purchasing one, and then we got a surveyor to go out, and they found bad subsidence on the rear of a property. And subsidence is a serious thing that can... you know, totally nail it, that you're not going to earn any money from that deal.
Quite often, you can tell, can't you?
Yeah, big cracks in the walls. Or even, ceilings.
I remember seeing a house a guy I know bought. He bought it at auction without even viewing it.
Mm.
And then you saw the picture of it.
Risky.
The house looked like it had a stroke. Do you know what I mean? Like the half of it had dropped. Literally, it was on like a slant. It looked terrible.
Yeah.
So you if it's bad... you'll see it. Cracks are another like you mentioned, are a good sign to look for.
Yeah.
So, but you're saying that you almost, even with your experience of viewing properties and stuff, you still miss the
subsidence. Yeah, because, I mean, a builder once told me that if there is cracks in the mortar line, it's the house moving, which we get a lot, especially up north where we are, because we've got a lot of coal mines and things, we get a lot of ground movement. And cracks in the brickwork is not really a major issue. We once bought an house and I could literally get my hand in between the bricks where it had moved. Got the builder out straight away. I thought, this is it. It's all going to drop down. But, I mean, it was a big raw terrace built in 1899. So, and he was like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Just patch it up, manage it. We'll overboard it with some plaster. And because it had not gone through the brick, on this next one that we were looking at, I thought the same. But it was the extension. So obviously there's a line of mortar where they've joined the bricks and it started to come away at the top. I couldn't see it from below because the garden were just horrendous when we got there. It'd been empty 2 years. But the surveyor used the drone to get around the back and he picked it up. To get on top of that, we'd have had to underpin it to guarantee. I mean, it may have been because there were a lot of vegetation in the rear garden. That can cause it as well. But if not, we'd have had to underpin it to guarantee that we were going to be fine with it in years to come. And the underpinning would have been about 12,000 on a small 3x3 extension because they've literally got to dig under it.
Oh, yeah. We're underpinning at the moment in one of our development projects. Yeah, it's a conversion. And the thing... have a guess. So it's a three-story building. It's an old factory. It's been there for donkeys and donkeys of years. And what do you reckon? How deep do you think the foundations are?
Three-story.
It's three-story, but it's taller than a normal three-story because it's really high ceilings. So it's very tall.
I mean, I would have guessed it should have been about a metre deep. But I'm guessing it weren't because you'd have it underpinned.
30 centimetres. So, yeah. I mean, 30 centimetres is a nice, easy one because everyone knows the length of the rulers when you're at school.
Yeah.
They're all 30 centimetres. So it's like that, yeah. It's It's ridiculous.
Wow.
So we're having to underpin the whole side.
Had there been movement on the brakes? Cracks?
Not really, no. No, it wasn't visible. It was only when we dug and to check. Yeah.
I suppose there's not much weight in it, though, at the minute, is there, if it's an empty factory?
That's the thing, and the roof's really lightweight. So when we change the roof and when we add everything
start adding things in.
It's not going to cope. But I've seen it with conservatories where they've got a conservatory, they've changed the roof.
Yeah.
And suddenly it starts sinking and all sorts, because it's not been built properly, and now they've got to underpin it. It's suddenly going to cost a fortune.
Yeah, I had this with a builder building me a garage in my back garden, and big garage. And I wanted the footings 600 by 600, 393 mesh, full of concrete, which is way over what you need. But I was like, look, I want to make sure if there's an hurricane, this garage is still standing.
The house has fallen down.
Yeah, the house has gone.
But my car
The motorbikes
safe.
Are fine.
Me, the family, we're all dead. We're under rubble. My motorbikes...
They're fine.
Yeah,
and he dug down like 30 centimetres, if that, and he was not going to put any metal in, and I had to just stop him. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Get another guy in. It's imperative that it's done right to start with. And that can be an absolute deal-breaker subsidence, definitely.
Yeah. So you like the cost to underpin it. So if you've got a house with subsidence, let's say, like again, we looked at the damp, typical normal house, you could be looking at, you mentioned up to 30 grand. What would you be thinking for a house with subsidence?
Again, it just depends on the size. I mean, the three by 3 metre extension, granted it were two stories high, for me, were going to cost me around 12,000 to have it done, from start to finish. So I think you're never going to see it less than 8 grand.
Yeah.
Ever. Unless you get some cowboys in. And then you'll be doing it again.
And if it's really bad, what's the worst you've seen on a normal house? Do you know the one I was talking about earlier? I know someone that bought from auction where the house was literally sloping. Mm. How much was something like that cost to fix?
I would guesstimate you'd probably be looking about 20k plus.
Yeah.
Would you?
So we're already at 50k.
Yeah.
Just with a bit of damp and a bit of subsidence.
Yeah.
All right. Brilliant. Yeah, definitely worth checking out. So when it comes to subsidence, you mentioned we're looking for cracks, we're looking for anything like that. Maybe even you can tell if you can visibly see that it's sinking on one side. What sort of surveys would you want to get done before you put... Especially if you're buying from auction. I think if you're buying traditionally, it's going to get picked up, right? You're going to be safe. But if you're buying from auction, what sort of surveys or what would you want to get
minimum
done?
Minimum level 2 residential survey, I would say. Minimum.
Before you even bid?
Well, sometimes you've not got time to bid. Time to get that in before I bid, should I say. But, I would... I mean, me personally, with auctions, I'm a little bit... I like to be able to spend a bit of time on that property, go out and view it, get some builder's quotes, etc.
You like post-auction and pre-auction and stuff, don't
post
you?
Post and pre, definitely, yeah.
But if you were buying from auction, you'd want to get some sort of level 2 survey.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for the sake of £1,000, it's going to save you... You know, I mean, we've done it before where we've spent £1,000 on a survey. We've done it recently. They've gone out... We spent a bit more than that, actually, because we got a better level of survey. So we just lost that money because we pulled from the deal.
Yeah.
But we'd have lost so much more money if we'd have carried on with the deal. So you've got to be careful.
All right, brilliant. So we've covered substance and damp. What else?
Invasive plants.
Ah, are we thinking about good old friend Japanese
knotweed? Japanese knotweed, yeah, that's a biggie. You wouldn't think it in little old England, would you? But it is. It would actually... brought in to the country, I believe, by the Victorians in the 1800s, I think, as they thought it was a beautiful looking plant. Because, I mean, it has got nice leaves, like heart-shaped leaves, when you look at it. So, you know, little did they know what damage they were going to cause. But, yeah, that is a biggie, because it will grow through anything. It'll push through concrete, through wood, through anything. And it will totally wreck it if you don't get on top of it. It's a good negotiating tool if it's found.
It's actually not as expensive to fix.
It's not these days. No, it's not these days. But they do have to keep on top of it like a treatment plan.
Yeah.
It's very rare they'll just come out, dig it up and go, right, it's done.
Yeah.
They've got to keep on top of it. It's usually, I think, a 3-year cycle, they say, to be guaranteed as good as that it's never going to come back. And you have to take
out... they insure it normally,
you have to take out different insurance policies as well, yeah. But it's manageable. It's not as serious as people used to think it were. But you have got to get on top of it.
Well, they normally just poison it now, don't they?
Yeah.
Because they used to try and dig it all out and burn it and everything. But
I think they actually use the stalks now. They chop them ground level and then they pour stuff into the stalk sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it gets to the root quicker.
We've dealt with it on a couple of projects. So I think the most I've ever spent was, I think it was less than 10 grand.
Yeah, I would say normally about between 5 and 7.
Yeah, and that was quite a lot.
Yeah.
So,
but it grows 2 centimetres a day.
It's quite a lot.
Yeah.
It's quite a lot.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
You've obviously got other plants that aren't as serious but can be a bit of a pet. Ivy, for example.
Yeah. Bamboo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got an ivy tree in our front garden, actually.
Have you?
Yeah. And it cuts me.
Does it?
When they fall, you know, it leaves.
Yeah.
They fall into grass, they stay hard for ages. I got one stuck in my foot the other day, actually.
Yeah, not good, not good. No. All right, what about the roof? When we talk about the roof, if you're looking at property, quite often, one of the signs for me, the first thing, especially when I'm staying back from the property, I'm looking to see if it's bowing or missing roof tiles and things like that. Again, it's another thing that a lot of people miss because they go straight in to the property.
Yeah.
Don't even look at the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, we've just been hit with a 4.5K bill on one of the houses that we're buying. We've not bought it yet. It's literally just about to complete. But I could see there were problems with the roof straight away. Obvious signs. We've got a few missing around the chimney stack. The ridge tiles were different. So you could see where they'd actually, halfway across, they were a certain height, and then after that, they were a different height. So straight away, that were alarm bells. I thought, yeah, this has had some temporary repairs done to this roof. So the roof has been got a 4.5 grand bill. But we knew this before we bought it, so it was no surprise. I actually put in 8 for a full roof, just in case. So we're halfway there anyway. But that looked to me like it had sagged a little bit.
Mm.
But it was because of the ridge tiles, either way. It just, from the eye below, it looked like it had got my roof out. They were like, no, it's fine. But they're going to put a dry ridge system on it, retile. The chimney needs capping off as well, because there's water getting in.
Have you ever had a problem with the roof where you didn't realise? You bought the property, you thought, tell me
first
about that.
House.
Okay.
Yeah, 8 grand.
8 grand.
Yeah, didn't budget for it. Old terraced house, built in the late 1800s. And it were a slate roof as well, which they're a nightmare to repair, slate roofs. We wanted a Velux window putting in. And when the roofer got up there, they were just like, look, this is not good. He showed, and he were genuine, he showed me. There were all sorts, there were broken tiles, there were no felt. The ridges were leaking, the chimney were leaking, and they were like, when we start chopping into it, it's just going to be an absolute nightmare to get it sealed up. So we ended up full roof on it and cost about 8k.
Nightmare.
Yeah, a little kick in the bollocks, that one.
Yeah. Actually, it reminds me, going back to the plants, something that I've got sort of stung with was there was a tree, dead tree, in the garden. It was a big one, about 30 metres tall.
Mm.
And it kept branches and stuff kept falling off it. And I was worried that, because being dead, it literally might fall in.
Yeah.
Fall into the house, wherever. 10 grand cost me.
Really?
Yeah.
For chopping a tree down. It's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah. Most tree surgeons said no.
What, they wouldn't do it?
They wouldn't do it. It's too high. It was hard to get to, and they were just like, no, we'll leave that. Yeah, yeah.
And then what did they do with the tree? Take it for firewood? So you got paid twice?
They got paid twice. They did ask me if I wanted it. I said, no thanks.
No log burner.
Mate, it's a 30-metre tree.
It takes 2 years anyway to dry out, doesn't it? Properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolute nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, that can be a biggie.
And that, if you didn't factor that into consideration, it's worth checking out the trees, the maintenance you need on the trees. Quite a few of the properties, actually. Not as bad as that. That's the worst I've ever had.
Yeah.
But a Willingham that we've just bought now. And then the other thing is, you can't even cut them down. Well, that tree, not only did it... It was also time-consuming because it had a TPO on it.
So you had to get permission.
For a dead tree?
Yeah. Did they have to come out and check it were dead first?
No. They trusted the... the tree surgeons.
Yeah.
I assume they took pictures and I didn't sort that at all. They applied and everything. They did it all for me. But I assume that they had to take photographic evidence.
£10,000, that can make or break, can't it?
Oh, it could kill a deal.
Yeah.
Make it kill a deal.
Could have killed a house if it chopped on it.
It could have.
Yeah.
It could have. Yeah. All right. What about insulation?
Insulation is not... I wouldn't say it was a massive issue at the moment, but it could be.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, Class E, I think, we can rent property. If you're buying it to rent it out, I mean.
Yeah.
Where we can have an EPC rating of E or higher, or lower, whatever you want to call it. And it's fine. So that pretty much is every... It's very rare you're going to find something F or below in today's modern world. But if they did move it into EPC rating of C, like they talked about recently, that then would be an issue.
Well, we're doing a place at the moment. It's actually going to be like serviced apartments up in the Peak District, and we're part of the conversion. Some of the rooms in this part of the property are literally, it's just the stone wall from outside, so everything needs to go in.
Yeah,
starting from scratch. To get it up to standards that we need to do now is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
However, for those two units, if we want to make them C,
yeah,
how much extra do you think it's going to cost us? So two units, it's almost like two apartments.
Two studios.
Yeah. One bedroom. Two one-bedroom apartments. How much extra to get it up to C? Because we've got to make the decision now. Do we do it to protect ourselves in however many years' time? Under Tory law, we would have been safe for a bit longer, but it's potentially even... sort of 2030 is being muted, isn't it, now?
Mm. So I'm going to guess 15.
12.
Oh, I went far off then, wasn't I?
You were very close, yeah.
Yeah. So they want, like, insulated plasterboard, your roof doing, soundproofing of internal ensuite rooms, which is mental. Roof. They're going to want the roof. Is it already felted, the roof?
I'm not totally sure.
But it will be at that price at 12. I don't think they'll be able to refelt roof at that. But yeah, I mean, we've...
I don't think it is, you know. It might be.
Is it not?
We can see all the beams at the moment. We're going to have to cut... But we're going to leave the beams.
Yeah.
So it's like... It's,
yeah,
be...
the felt sits above the beams, just under the roof tiles.
Yeah, I can't remember.
We got bit with this recently, which I learned a lesson the hard way. Like we do it most lessons. We had building control out to one of our HMOs that we were doing, and the electricians, being such great tradesmen, cheers guys, decided to, rather than be nice and neat, they just put the hammer through the ceiling in the top floor. So imagine it's a three-storey terraced house, we're looking at the ceiling sloping.
Are you not a fan of electricians?
No. I'm a gas engineer by trade, so it's in his blood originally to not get on with electricians. We always argue who's got the better trade.
Obviously electricians.
No, definitely not, no.
Okay. I trained as an electrician.
Did you?
Yeah.
How long did you do as an electrician?
I didn't do any work as an electrician.
No electrician does any work.
Well, there you go. I've fit in just nice to them.
Yeah. No, they nailed me, to say the least, because they smashed a hole to chase a cable in.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, with a hammer. You could see the hammer marks.
Yeah, fair.
Thread the cable in.
Yeah,
and then the building inspector came out.
Can't we just all agree that they're the ones with the issue, the building inspector?
He came out, and then they saw that there was no insulation above the top room. Plasterboard. And think on this is a 22-square-metre room. So a decent-sized HMO room. And he made us drop the entire ceiling in that room and fit 50mm minimum kingspan between the joists and tape the joists. So that put about another £4,000 on the job, just... like that. Just because the electrician had put an hole in the ceiling. So now I make sure that the building inspector comes in before my electricians get in and start smashing it to bits.
That sounds like a good piece of advice there. All right. Anything else you can think of that you should be looking for? Obviously, you've got all the normal stuff you're looking for a BRR. All the cosmetic stuff, your carpets, your painting, your furnishings, all that sort of stuff. But anything underlying issues that someone might miss that could
blocked cause gutters can be one that can be easily missed and can cause some serious.
Go on. Tell us a bit about that.
We did this again on one of our first ones, and the gutter were blocked, so it was leaking back on the wall of the house. Three-storey terrace house, so we didn't really notice it on the back of the house. We didn't live there anyway. And then it started soaking through the damp into the wall. And it was only when we saw the nice, brand-new HMO room that we'd done, painted, carpeted, and then the tenant were in and they were like, hey, we got something's happening with the wall. And then we were like, shit. And it was just a block gutter. Just a block gutter. So
we've actually just had our house done. So our maintenance guy's just literally gone around our ladder, just clearing out all the leaves and everything. You probably want to do that. It looked like it had been a couple of years since it had been done.
I would say every 2 years.
Yeah.
Ideally. It depends on, if it's like a city centre.
Might be okay.
Yeah, because there's no leaves going in it. No, but when you've got trees nearby, it's a nightmare. Yeah. That can cause quite a bit of damage if it's unforeseen, and it's such an easy fix.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it yourself, getting up on the ladders. I don't bounce.
I reckon you would.
Splat! for the sake of a guy to come out, 100 quid to clear a side out of gutters, it's you're going to save yourself a lot of money in the long term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about things like plumbing issues, leaky taps?
Yeah, plumbing, I could go on all day. What is to look out for? Leaks, obviously the biggest thing. Central heating systems, if they've been fitted right. One thing that can also... New boilers. Any kind of leak,
new boiler seems to be one of the things that you almost always have to do on these type of properties. I almost budget it in.
Boilers are not built like they used to be. So you could buy a house with a 10-year-old boiler in 30 years ago and not worry about it. Whereas now, if that boiler's 5-year-old, it's getting to end its life because, nothing's built like it used to be. So
you sound like a very old man saying that. You're like a very old northern man.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've ripped boilers. When I were a gas engineer, I used to rip boilers out that had been in 35-plus years. And there were nothing wrong with them. They just wanted them upgrading them. They just wanted them upgrading to a new system. And then I'd go and fit a commie boiler. And in the 5 years that it were in, the 5-year warranty, should I say, manufacturer might be out to it 5-6 times. Because they perform higher, so they're not going to last as long.
Hmm.
But a biggie with a heating system, which I'm afraid to tell you, you cannot ever find this out until it's too late, is if they use non-barrier pipe on the central heating side, which is designed for hot and cold water. They don't really sell it much now. You can only pick it up a few places, but it came out quite big in the late 90s because it was cheaper, basically. And non-barrier pipe is designed for hot and cold pipe work, but people used to fit it on central heating systems, and then you get... I'm not going to the science behind it, but it's to do with electrolytic corrosion and things. And it starts to scale up the pipework inside everywhere in the house. And I used to do a lot of work for a guy out in Home Firth who lived in a 1.5 million-plus house. Beautiful, like, Georgian stone house. And we were managing his non-barrier pipe issue. Every 6 months, we were having to go out and power flush the system, and it was horrendous. And he was like, what can we do? And I was like, there's nothing we can do other than rip the entire house to bits to replace it all. And he just said it done. He did a 50, 60 grand cellar conversion. The whole house had got oak floors and things. So he was just on a time away. So there is a few things that you can't see. Yeah. That's a biggie one for me, to the point where I said to him, if he'd have offered me that house at 500k, I wouldn't have lived in it. I'd have bought it to sell it on, but I wouldn't have lived in it because of the issues that were gonna cause.
What about a rewire?
Rewires, I tend to do a standard on every house I buy, if I'm honest. Unless it's just been done in the last 3 years, I will get electricians in, begrudgingly, to come and rewire the house.
Legends, yeah.
to come and smash my house to bits. They are literally one of the first trades I'll get in as well, because I know they're going to ruin it.
I thought they were the last, after your building inspector.
I have to get them in first, so they cause all the damage.
Yeah.
And then me proper trades, me gas engineers.
Do you not, like, check the fuse board and sort of see how new it is? And
yeah.
Even if it's relatively new, you still get a rewire done.
Yeah, because especially with what we're doing with HMOs, they've now got to have a metal front on them, the fuse box. So the old plastic, the older plastic taps, which are still relatively new, which are fine on a normal BRR or a flip or anything, they still conform to standards, but the HMO ones now, we have to have a metal fronted one on them. Mm. So we tend to just budget it in on every job. Plus,
could you not just like keep the plastic one and just put a metal front on?
I don't know. I'll ask my electrician.
Be interesting. I don't know the answer either.
They might be able to glue one on.
Just stick a metal front on.
Yeah, but
you want a metal one? It's the same one, just with a metal front.
Yeah.
A bit of masking tape. Job's a good one.
Yeah, I'll ask him if he'll do that. They probably would do it anyway. Electricians, they don't
do anything.
They don't follow their rules.
Make a hole.
Yeah, just make it up as they go along, don't they? And then charge me an arm and a leg.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I hope you're watching this, Sean.
Cool. So, I mean, anything else, really, if you're thinking, you know, BRR, or even not for BRR, if you're buying your own property, anything else that you should be on the lookout for? I mean, let's just sort of summarise what we've said. So, first of all, when you get to the outside of the house, look around the outside, look for invasive plants,
yep,
maybe trees that might need chopping down or removing, signs of subsidence, cracks. Mm. Have a good look at the roof, look at the outside of the property, look for potential bowing or missing tiles. And then once you get inside the house, you want to be looking at the boilers. How would you know if the boiler needed replacing?
Good question. Generally, as I say, if the boiler's more than 5 year old, I would be questioning it. If it's more than 10 year old, definitely. But like we're just buying one now again in it's got a Vakira in, which is a bad boiler. It's only about 3 year old. It's coming out. We'll put a new one in. It depends on what manufacturer boiler's in. I mean, I'm a glowworm guy. I do like glowworms.
It's like Bosch.
What's the Bosch?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Cut my fingers.
Okay.
They're very sharp inside for some reason, Worcester Boschers. If there's any gas engineers watching this, they'll totally agree with me.
Really?
Every time you do a repair on a Worcester Bosch boiler, you're risking serious lacerations.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't affect me or anyone watching this?
No, as a consumer, they're a great boiler.
Oh, I'll go with that. Go with that then.
Yeah, but I'm... But for,
and I'll get you to come and renovate it for me.
But yeah, it depends on the manufacturer a lot. If it's a cheap boiler, Vakira's, Biases, things like that, they're coming out regardless of how old they are, yeah, if I'm honest.
I suppose these things, the rewires, the boilers, there's stuff you're probably going to have to get done every now and then.
Yeah, and it depends what you're doing with the house. If you're just going to flip it...
Who cares?
If the boiler's working, it's not going to change the value of the house at all. If that boiler works, fine. But if you're keeping the house and you're going to refinance it, you've got to think of the long game. So I'm more interested in, is this going to give me problems? And if it is...
Get it out.
Get it out. Much like electricians.
You're going to be looking for the rising damp. That's a big one when you're looking around the house. You want to be looking... What were the other things we mentioned? Insulation.
Mm.
You can look at the EPC rating and see what the rating is if it's very low.
Yeah.
And again, that might not cost too much now, but it's worth bearing in mind. I probably wouldn't get the work done now because of a legislation that's coming in 5 years, because you might sell it in 2 years or three years.
They might backdate it again another 10 years.
Or it might never come in.
Exactly.
So who knows? But yeah, it's a potential issue.
Yeah. Windows?
I knew there was something that we'd have forgotten.
Windows.
Let's finish on windows then.
Windows. Windows are expensive, especially if you want good quality windows in. If it's single glazing... If it's not a listed building, obviously, then they've got to be changed straight away. And then one sign to look out for with double glazing straight away is if it's fogging up in the middle. It means that I think there's a gas in it, a nitrogen or something, I think, and that it's lost its charge. It'll just condense up and it looks
Looks crap.
Looks crap, yeah. So if that's the case, you've got to at least have the window changed, the pane of glass. But then it's a judgment call on how old the windows are, if you need to change them all. Because if you do need to change them all, that's when it's going to get costly, especially doors. Windows and doors. We had to do it on one of ours. We had to do it anyway. We had to change all the windows and the doors, and it cost us about 10 grand.
Mm. I'm worried here. Obviously, I live here, but they're all wooden windows.
I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed it when I came up, yeah. But you can actually get double glazing if they're not already. They may actually be already looking at them. You can get double glazing units for wooden.
Yeah, yeah, I think it is double glazing. Yeah. The issue is... Would you leave it?
Leave it, definitely. Is it listed, this, as well? Listed them, no?
No, it's not listed.
No. They cost a bomb, these, aren't they?
Yeah.
Have you had them priced?
No, I'm scared.
You didn't want to get them in, do you? In case they talk you into it.
Yeah, but around the back, like, the wood is, like... The sill on the outside, yeah.
Get them out to repair it. Catch it before it gets any worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a big property in a town centre. It's got wooden windows with double glazing. It's a listed building. So we'd have to get planning permission in to change them. But it's got massive bay windows, like square bays, that come out at the front at the bottom. We got a window guy out here. We're looking about 15k for them too.
Mm. It reminds, like, do you remember you see the properties that where they brick the windows up for the windows tax back in the day? Have you seen those?
No, I've not actually.
So do you know when if you're going through like an old town centre or whatever, and you see?
What, did they also tax them for windows?
Yeah,
used to do
a window tax. Wow. So they'd tax the properties. So I suppose it was similar to.
Must have been a conservative
council
thing.
Tax sort of thing, but it was window tax. So a lot of people, they bricked in some of the windows.
Yeah.
But it's getting to the point now, I'm tempted around the back. I'm like,
just get some
dark in
LED
here,
lights in. Cheaper.
Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous. Hey guys, hope you found that really useful. If you are looking to buy a property, whether it's to live in yourself, to rent out, or to do as a buy, refurbish, refinance, it's crucial that you make sure you do your due diligence before you actually buy, because a lot of these costs can seriously add up and totally affect your investment, your return on investment for sure. So I hope you found that very, very useful. James, thanks ever so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And we will see you next week.